Hi, my name is Reiner Stropik. I'm an Azure MVP, and today I want to show you a demo, a recording of a demo that I created for the German conference OOP. And I'm sitting here in my hotel room in Munich, and I thought it would be a good idea to record this sample so that everybody who might be interested in this topic, ALM in the cloud, can take a look at the sample and maybe learn something about Visual Studio Online, Microsoft Azure, REST services, webhooks, and so on. In my professional life, I have the company Software Architects. You might know us from our project time tracking and project controlling tool Time Cockpit. Of course, Time Cockpit is running in the cloud too. It's based on Microsoft Azure, and all the tools that I'm going to show you today, we're using them on a daily basis. So this whole talk and this example is really based on our daily experience of our professional life as developers. So let's start with the sample. You know, we really start from scratch here. Imagine you want to start from the very beginning. You founded a new company, you put together a new team, and today you want to work as professional as possible, so you need an ALM system. And one stop that you might take a look at if you build software based on Microsoft technology is Visual Studio Online, the Team Foundation server in the cloud. And we will start our sample by creating a brand new Team Foundation server in the cloud, a Visual Studio Online environment. Let's call it OOP 2015 because this is the name of the conference that I'm currently here at. And let's select Git as our source control. Source control is an important part of an ALM system, so we'll start from there. Hit Create Project. The whole point of running your ALM system in the cloud is that it frees resources so you can focus, you can really focus on the thing you want to do, namely building software. You don't want to maintain the infrastructure yourself, care for patching of the Team Foundation server, setting up build servers and things like that. That should be done in the cloud. And now, as you can see, it only took a few seconds and we have a brand new Team Foundation server ready to work for us. We can use it here, for instance, for project management. We can maintain our backlog here. Let's call it initial development, and we can schedule our tasks or our backlog. We can use a graphical board and start, for instance, the development of this product backlog item and things like that. I'm not going to deal a lot about the details what TFS and Visual Studio are able to do in terms of project management, but you see, here in Visual Studio Online, we also can cover the topic of project management directly here in the cloud. But be aware of the fact that Visual Studio Online, the Team Foundation server in the cloud, has some limitations concerning customization of the workflows, of the form. If I open such a form, if you want to add new fields, if you want to customize this form, this is somehow limited today. Microsoft has informally announced that this limitation will go away in the course of the next few months, but today it is a matter of fact that this limitation is there. So if you need customizability in this area, this might be a showstopper, and you might throw in an additional tool for project management at a Time Cockpit. We did exactly that. So we use Jira, Atlassian Jira, for a Kanban agile project management, and we integrated our Jira system with the rest of Visual Studio Online. I will show you how we did that in a few minutes. The second thing is, of course, source control. And here you see source control, and of course we just created this repository, so it's open. It's completely empty, so we have to fill it. We have to start development, and I will do that in a second. These two menu items look promising. Build and test. You automatically get an integrated, automated build environment with your Visual Studio Online account, which you can use. Okay, but let's start, as I already mentioned, with the source control. So let's go to Visual Studio, I already started it, and connect our on-prem Visual Studio, which is my favorite IDE by far, my favorite IDE, and connect my Visual Studio with our Visual Studio in the cloud, Visual Studio Online. So I go to Team Explorer, I hit Select Team Project, And I select, you see, our visualstudio.com account, which happens to be in Western Europe because I'm here in Germany. So select OOP 2015 and connect. It will take a few moments, and you see our Visual Studio is connected with our TFS in the cloud. And as we selected Git, our first step is to clone the repository so we can start working with it. So let's clone it. I created a folder for that. I called it temp OOP and cloned the repository. It is empty, so this should be quite fast. Okay, here we are. And I can show you here in the OOP directory, it's empty. Only the .git directory is here. So in practice, you would now start development. This is the fun part. But this session is not about developing .NET solutions and ASP.NET and OWIN and all these nice keywords, buzzwords that we know from the Microsoft developer world. No, it's about ALM. So I prepared a ready-made sample, and this sample is available to you if you want to start play with it in my GitHub repository. I will show you the URI at the end of this video. So imagine you did the development, and I will copy the things that we need. We don't need this one, and we don't need these two. We'll go back to the Jira webhook later on. Copy that one and copy it into the OOP directory. So now we've finished development. We have implemented our solution, and I can show you what this solution does. It's really the most simple OWIN application I could think of to really enables it really enables us to concentrate, to focus on the important parts of ALM. You know, this solution, if we run it, of course, we develop it locally. I use my local SQL server, so I don't need the cloud for development here. And what this sample solution does, it's very simple. It just listens to HTTP GET requests, and it prints some information of the server, and then it opens a database and lists all the tables in the database. That's all the sample does. It's a single source file. I can show you the source file here. Very, very simple. Just a bit of OWIN stuff here, and that's it. As simple as possible. The configuration is done here in the web.config file, and please note that we are using a LocalDB, a SQL server locally installed on my machine for development. I also created some unit tests. This might be interesting for you too. You have seen this tab test and things like that. Of course, our Visual Studio in the cloud is able to run the unit tests whenever we do a build. The first unit test is very simple. It's obviously succeeding because 1 is always equals 1, but it's just there for demonstration purposes. And the second unit test, it's a bit more complex because it's accessing a real database. So if we want to build in the cloud, if we want to do the unit tests, we have to make sure that it has a test database that it can use during running the test. And so I decided to create a database in the cloud. And here we are, the first time, using Microsoft Azure. Microsoft Azure, the cloud platform, is a great platform with lots of platform as a service offerings. And one platform as a service offering is a ready-made SQL Server cluster service. It's called Azure SQL Database Service. And there I created the database. I called it OOP ALM talk test. And there it is. And I can run the unit test, and I can run it locally. It will run in the cloud. Of course, I could also use LocalDB locally and run the unit test in the cloud using the test database in the cloud. Then I would have to write a bit more code, but that's out of scope of this talk. But let's run the unit test locally to see that it works perfectly fine, although the test database is in the cloud. So you now have seen that the application is running on-prem, it's running in a mixed environment, and we are now ready to put this stuff into the cloud. We already connected our Visual Studio, but we have not checked in our source code. And this is what I want to do next. So I go to Team Explorer, I go to Changes, and you see, we have lots of untracked files. Let's take a look. First, let me remove the packages directory. These are all the NuGet packages. We don't need to check them in. We shouldn't check them in. Visual Studio will, as soon as the build starts, fetch the NuGet packages from nuget.org. So we keep our code repository nice and small, just the source code. So it's very fast to clone it in the future. So this looks good. I can hit Add All and do an initial commit. I could commit it locally, but that wouldn't be much fun. I want to combine a commit and push, so I'm committing it locally to my local Git repo and then push the commit out in the cloud in Visual Studio Online. Let's do that. Okay, we pushed it into the cloud, and so now if we go back to our Visual Studio and hit Explore, we should see our source code. And here it is, you see? We have our solution, we have our unit tests, everything's fine. So what you have seen up to now is that it's very simple to set up a Team Foundation server in the cloud. Just a few clicks, and the first thing that I demonstrated was the capability of Visual Studio Online to do Git source code control for you. Highly available inside the European Union, ISO certified data centers, and all the nice things that you get from the Microsoft cloud. Next step. Now we have the source code in the cloud, wouldn't it be nice if we could also automate the build in the cloud? And this is what we want to do next. So I want to connect my Microsoft Azure environment, here it is, with my Visual Studio in the cloud. And for that, we will create a brand new target environment. If we want to run something that speaks HTTP or HTTPS in the Microsoft Azure cloud, of course we are going to use Azure Websites. Azure Websites is a great service. You don't have to care for installing IIS, setting up your Windows Server, things like that. Everything is done for you. It's super simple to scale. You can scale up, you can scale out, and all the things. I'm not going into the details here. If hosting web services or websites in the cloud is important for you, you should definitely check out Azure Websites. Okay, let's create an Azure website. Let's call it OOP 2015 Web. And yeah, put it to West Europe so we have it near to our Visual Studio Online account. Creating a website in Microsoft Azure really doesn't take long. It should only take, let's say, 10 to 15 seconds because nothing magic is happening. Not a lot of stuff is happening here. Essentially, this thing currently is empty. If I go to this website, you will see that it's, well, empty because we haven't done anything. So now I want to publish my application into this website. Of course, I don't want to publish it from Visual Studio by hand. I could do that. But in a professional ALM system, I have automated build. So I can repeatedly run a defined build process, and the possibility of human errors is reduced as much as possible. So I want to connect my deployment environment, which is an Azure website, with my source control system, which is Visual Studio Online, everything in the cloud, and then we are going to use the so-called managed build controller. Build controllers provided by Microsoft, which I don't have to set up and maintain, to build our solution and push it out in Azure Websites. So let's try that. Okay, I can go to this first step here and say setup deployment, and I choose Visual Studio Online. And the system asks me for my tenant name, and I will copy that one from the URI. We need this one, and that's fine. Go back, paste it here, and hit authorize now. Now Visual Studio Online is talking to Microsoft Azure, and a connection is made. This connection registers our Azure website as a deployment target for our Visual Studio Online project. And the second thing that we get is a build process. A build process for continuous integration and deployment. We can then use this build process to trigger builds and to automatically deploy our solution into the website. Essentially, we are ready now. We just had to establish the connection from our Visual Studio Online account with our website, and everything else is done in the background by the Microsoft Cloud. So I can now immediately go back to Visual Studio, go to the Team Explorer, take a look at builds, and you see here we have the build definition. This build definition was created by connecting our website with Visual Studio Online. Let's take a look. Edit build definition. You see, it's enabled. It's set to continuous integration. Whenever we check in changes, build is automatically triggered. We have some settings here that we are going to use the hosted build controller. Do not need a drop folder in this sample, so I can disable this option. And then we have some options. It automatically figured out that we only have one solution. If we would have multiple solutions, we would have to choose the solution that we want to build in this case. It detected that we have some unit tests that should be executed, and deployment is of course only done if the unit tests succeed. And finally, down here, we see the drop location. This is the Azure website that will receive our ready-built DLLs and things like that, so that the build process can deploy our solution once the build process is ready. So let's go to the solution, and just for demo purposes, I'm going to change something here. So let's go here and say this is our recording test. Okay, save this one, and here you see it. Go here, and where is it? Where is it? Commit, commit, commit. Here, commit. And you see, I commit this change. Did some changes. Of course, as you are used to in Visual Studio and TFS, I could now query for the backlog and for my tasks and associate the changes in my source code with the tasks. I think this is very important, a professional software development team, to always have this view. Why did somebody change something in the source file? Is it connected to a bug, or was it a new feature that we introduced? So you really have this nice integrated solution if you are using Team Foundation Server. For us, that's fine. I showed you the project management before, so I can now immediately push our changes. Let's do that. Changes have been pushed, and now, if the demo gods are smiling, yes, here we are, a new build is triggered. By changing our source code and by pushing this change into the cloud, the continuous integration build definition kicked in. It detected the change and queued a new build for us. Now, Visual Studio Online will look for a server, a build server, that can fulfill our build request. And we have to take a few seconds until a build server is free. And you see, here it is. It took approximately 30 seconds or 40 seconds, something like that. And now a build controller is free for us, and we can watch the build controller building our solution. So what happens in the background? In the background, the build controller, the hosted build controller, which we don't have to manage, and that's the beauty of the cloud of platform as a service, it fetches our source code from the Git repository in Visual Studio Online. It then looks at the packages file, and it gets the NuGet packages, and it starts the build. It starts the regular MS build. You might wonder what you should do if you are not happy with the build process that Microsoft has defined out of the box. Well, no problem. You can go into the build definition, and here, you see, here is the process template. This is the build process that is executed. That's a workflow foundation file. You can download it. You can use Visual Studio to modify it, to add additional steps, to remove steps. You can even build your own build steps in C#. Check them in and use them in the process template. So you don't need to live with the sample process. You really can customize it to your specific needs. And the second thing is that you don't have to buy a big build server or lots of big build servers if you have a big team. You can queue multiple builds, and you will have to pay for the build by minute. So it's important to keep the build fast, to make the unit tests execute fast, maybe do some additional mocking. So our unit test accessing the database is not a very good example, but I added it especially to discuss this topic to you. So short build time, fast unit tests save you money, because in the cloud you pay for what you use. Let's look back at the build. You see, MS build is currently running. Here we are in minute 1 minute and 17 seconds, so it should only take a few more seconds until the build is finished. The next step should be executing our unit tests. That's an important thing, because the unit tests, only if they succeed, the system knows that it can push the solution out to the cloud. So you might wonder, well, I want to test it before I put it in production. Of course you can do that. You could set up the build deploying into a so-called test slot, a specific implementation of websites that is used for some additional smoke testing or user accepting testing. And then you can put that from there into production if everything is fine. Azure Websites has specific functions for that. It has a so-called whip swap, where you can swap the different environment, you can turn the test environment to the production environment, and the other way around. And you can even automate this process by using things like PowerShell or XSplat tools. So if you like the portal, and if you are a small team, and if you don't want to automate everything, you do it interactively in the portal, but you can automate even the put into production process with PowerShell, for instance, if you want. Okay, our MS build has succeeded, so we will in a moment see that the test runner kicks in, and after that our deployment process will take the results of our build and put it to Microsoft Azure website. Okay, the build has finished, and now you can see that the test runner, as promised, kicked in and is running our tests. The tests are quite small, so they should only take a few seconds, and afterwards our solution is deployed. The tests were successful, and you see we have continuous deployment here, and we can try that in a second. Two other things that I want to mention. Maybe you have already invested in some build infrastructure which is currently running in your own data center. Can you use that with Visual Studio Online? Of course you can. You can take the components in the cloud that are important for you, and you can keep your on-prem infrastructure for build, for instance, and connect them. At the end of the day, it's just a Team Foundation server in the cloud, and it's just a Windows server that is used for build. So why not using resources either in Azure, your own virtual machines, or using your on-prem infrastructure? Just make sure that your internet connection is reliable and strong enough, and then, well, why not using existing infrastructure? Our sample has succeeded. As you can see, we have a 100% pass rate of the unit tests. We can take a look at the unit tests result, as you can see it here. And here we have the website. And if everything goes right, I can click on it, and we will immediately see some data. Well, it will not, because I did a mistake, and I did that mistake. I did that mistake not by accident, because I wanted to show you something. It's really important to note, I've shown you that, in the web.config, that our web.config is pointing to a local database on my local machine. But in the cloud, in this case, let's say that's our production server. We don't have a separate test system. We could, but we will not in this sample. We have to connect our system in the cloud with the production database. Of course, we should never ever enter the production credentials here and check them into Git. That's not the way we work. We have a specific area here in Microsoft Azure, here the config area in our website, where we can override the connection strings. And the process that we do now should typically be done by an administrator who knows the credentials for the production system. So we go here into our Visual Studio and copy the name of the connection string, scroll down a bit and take the connection string, paste it here, and then we need the access credentials to the database. And it happened that I already created a database here that we can use. I'm going to show it to you. This is a database cluster, and let's take the prod database, here it is, and this is the name of the server, as you can see, but we don't have to remember the name, we just can copy it here, and go back and paste the value here. Of course, Azure will not give you with copy and paste the user and password, we have to fix that. Let's go to OP user, I just I created this user before we started this recording, and I set a password with it, which is not very secure, but it's okay for the sample, and that's fine. Now we overwrite the connection string settings without checking in production credentials to Git, and that's a very important point. That's really important if you want to keep your system safe. Let's retry to run our website. Go here again. Here I have the URI. Click on it. It's opening a tab. And yes, you see, before we had a runtime error, and now we are really executing in the cloud. We built everything in the cloud. We deployed everything in the cloud. We connected it up with our production database server. And now we can, again, build our version 2 of our awesome sample, check it in, build will automatically be triggered, and everything is automated in our ALM system in the cloud. Okay, so I hope you liked that one, because we will now switch to my second sample, my second demo that I want to show you. Because, as I mentioned before, Visual Studio Online is really a great system, and we love it. We use it every day. All our development is now based on Visual Studio Online, automated build, things like that. But in the work item management area, we are really missing the possibility to change the process and the work item definition and things like that. We are really missing that one. And therefore, we decided to still use a different system for project management. In our case, we decided to use Atlassian Jira in the cloud, in the Atlassian cloud. So an important point would be, if we create an issue, for instance, in Jira, or if we change the status or add some description and things like that, we still want to create tasks and product backlog items in Visual Studio Online. So we have two systems, both are running in the cloud, and we want to hook them up together. How can we do that? And this is where platform independent web services come in. It's very important, if you select your ALM system in the cloud of your choice, that you make sure that your ALM system is offering platform independent web services, so you can read data from system A and put the data into system B. And in our case, I want to get data from Jira and I want to write data to Visual Studio Online. One important or interesting concept that we can use when integrating multiple systems in the clouds are webhooks. Webhooks are the idea that a source system like Jira, for instance, can be configured so that it sends a message, an HTTP request, to an application, again, in the cloud. You can implement this endpoint, and this endpoint can then use, for instance, REST services of the target system to import the data. So you have a seamless integration of two systems, and both are running in the cloud. And this is what I want to show you in my second example. So let's go to Visual Studio again. Maybe start a new instance here. And I will open my webhook implementation. You see, here we have our webhook implementation. I can show it to you. It's just a single source file. Again, you will find it in my GitHub repository, which I will point you to at the end of this recording. And this solution, you see, it's just an ASP.NET web API. It listens to the route Jira webhook. It gets some JSON from Jira, and then it's using the REST API of Visual Studio Online to import the Jira issue as a product backlog item. You can check out the code in detail. It's really not much code. It just demonstrates the point. Okay. So now, if we want to point Jira to this webhook, we have to somehow host this webhook in the cloud. And, well, we already learned what's the best thing of hosting applications which speak HTTP in the cloud. It's simply, again, websites. So we will deploy this thing into Azure website again. But this time, I will not spend, again, time to set up automated build and so on. You should, in practically, let me make that very clear, you should, in practice, make that a professional approach of automated build. But for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to show you how to deploy this web application. Again, it's an Owen web application. If you want to deploy it via Visual Studio, we just hit publish. And for the sake of time, I've already created an Azure website. See? Well, you know what? Let me delete this profile again, just to show you how this looks like. Maybe it's interesting for you if you have never done that before. This is how it looks like if you start from scratch. You see, you go to Microsoft Azure website, and it will ask you, you know what? Let's sign out here and sign in again. You have to specify your account. This is my demo account, and I will probably be asked for my password. I have my password in my password keeper here. Let's paste the password in here. And now directly from Visual Studio, I'm connecting with my Azure website account. And if I'm lucky, I see the website that I already created. You see, it's called Jira VSO Integration. And we take that one, hit OK. Maybe we should deploy a debug release just to show you how we could do troubleshooting and things like that. And yeah, we could preview the changes, but we can just hit publish. And now it will build, this time locally, not in the cloud, it will build our solution and push it from here into Microsoft Azure. So here, Visual Studio Online does nothing. I just checked in the source code, but you see, even if you have a small project where it doesn't pay off to set up automated deployment and things like that, it's very easy to publish things to Azure directly from Visual Studio. Well, okay, so how can we now test this this webhook? We have to go to Jira. Here I have my browser, and I have my bookmarks, and down there I have the webhook configuration. I'm here in the configuration section of our Jira implementation in the Atlassian cloud, and it's just, if you want to look it up in your Jira system, you can go to here, go to system, then you will get into system area, and here you can look for it, and you just say webhook. Here you see the webhooks, and then it will get you there. And you see, I already created this webhook, and for you, I will open the definition. You see, it's very simple. You just specify the URI, and this is exactly the URI that we deploy to. You see, if I go here, this was called Jira VSO Integration. Jira VSO Integration, and this is the name of the web API path that you have just seen in Visual Studio. In this case, I'm telling Jira that I'm interested in issues where the summary starts with OOP, the name of the conference that I did this talk for, and the project should be Time Cockpit. And I want to be informed whenever an issue is created, updated, or deleted. Okay, let's save this webhook. Nice. Now, let's go into our Jira board, Agile board. Here it is. You see, I tried it before this recording already, so we can now create additional work items. However, imagine in practice, you set this webhook up and you're not sure how everything is placed together. How do you do troubleshooting? Let's take a look at that. I go here into Visual Studio, and I really want to debug my system in the cloud. Azure Websites is a platform as a service offering, so I have no possibility to do some kind of remote desktop to our Windows server. We don't have to care for our Windows server. It's done by Microsoft. It's the same as Visual Studio Online. I cannot install software. I cannot remote desktop on the machine. That's the whole idea of platform as a service. But still, you can use the Server Explorer here in Visual Studio to connect directly here to my website in the cloud. It's going into Microsoft Azure, and here you see the website. I hit here, Attach Debugger, and now we are attaching our locally installed Visual Studio instance here in my hotel room in Munich, and in a few seconds we should see the breakpoint activated. Nice. So what should happen now is if I go to my Chrome, and if I hit Create, let's enter something. OOP, recording work item. Maybe let's assign it to me and do some description here and hit create. And let's see what happens. Okay, created. And you see, Visual Studio running on my local machine identified that in the web, in our website, somebody sent an HTTP request. And we can now even use things like, if I hover over here, we can use things like watch points, we can catch exceptions, we can take a look at exceptions and things like that, and debug our solution with that. In my case, I'm fine with that. I just hit F5 as soon as my Visual Studio starts responding again. Oh yes, Visual Studio just started to respond again. I hit it F5, so we are back in Visual Studio. The hotel Wi-Fi is back again. And if I hover over the status code here, you see this is what I wanted to show you. I'm seeing the value of the variable in my server, which is running in the Microsoft Azure Cloud in the data center, and in this case near Amsterdam, although I'm sitting in a hotel room in Munich, and I think that's really great experience. And if the status code says okay, we should be able to go to our Visual Studio here and refresh our board. And let's see what happens. If we refresh the board, woohoo, here is our work item. We can take a look at it. It is an integration, in this case, Jira for project management integrated with Visual Studio Online, and the integration is done by only a few lines of C# code running in Microsoft Azure, debugged with my locally installed Visual Studio. And this is what I wanted to show you. In the cloud, it's typical that you follow best of breed approach. You take a great customer service tool, for instance, let me show you that slide, for instance. This is our tool stack. You take a great tool for project management, like Jira, for instance. You combine it with your Visual Studio Online for source code control, automated build, and things like that. You maybe throw in a customer service tool like Zendesk. We are using the Zendesk service out in the cloud. You might want to have an additional tool for informal team communication, like Slack. Slack has an out-of-the-box integration with Zendesk, so the tickets are automatically converted to Slack discussion items, and your team can start to discuss about possible bugs and things like that. And of course, our own product, Time Cockpit, can also be integrated. It also offers a REST interface. It also speaks OData and OAuth and all these things. So we could, in the same way that I showed you now, use the Jira webhook to take the Jira issues and create them as projects or tasks in Time Cockpit so that we can track time here in Time Cockpit. But Time Cockpit does adds something else to this stuff. If I switch to this Time Cockpit instance, one key idea of Time Cockpit is that it does not only offer a platform-independent web service interface, but it also offers a so-called activity log. And this activity log monitors what you are doing. It respects your privacy by encrypting the stuff with a personal password, so it's no team productivity analysis tool. It's really just for your purposes for time tracking. And you see, in this case, in this sample here, my Time Cockpit recorded that, in this case, the developer was mainly working in Visual Studio in a sample application which is called Adventure App. And I can even hover over it here, and this is a connection to my Team Foundation server, to my Visual Studio Online Team Foundation server, and it shows me my check-ins, it shows me my work item changes. So Time Cockpit really plays nicely in this whole orchestration of different tools for ALM, and in this case everything is running in the cloud, and in this case most of the things run in the Microsoft cloud. So I hope that this presentation and this sample gave you a good idea of what you can do with Microsoft Cloud, with Microsoft ALM tools. Here you see my connection data, you see my email address, you see my Twitter handle, and you can also check out my blog. That's the last thing that we are going to do. You find the blog at www.software-architects.com, and you see here is the posting. ALM in the cloud with Visual Studio, and if you go here, you find written down lots of the things that I told you in this video, just to let you read the facts. And here you see the important link to my GitHub sample. And if I go here, you see you have the most important points documented in this README, and you have the Jira webhook, and you have the simple database sample. This is the OWIN sample with the unit tests. So feel free to grab the source code, to install it in your own Visual Studio Online environment, and play with it. Thank you for listening and watching this recording. I hope you liked it. As I said, my name is Rainer Strobeck, and if you have any questions, feel free to contact me via email or via Twitter. Bye!